Welcome. So we're going to do something impromptu and switch, talk about Noah today, I think. Now, we've been in the middle of a series on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's most famous and known sermon. And so if you have a Bible, open that to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to go 13 through 16 today. As I read through this week and started studying even the week before, one of the things I just kept feeling, and the title just comes from this, and what I want to share with you today comes from this, is that we're all really heavy and weighty. We're tired right now. I don't know, no matter what your opinion of what's going on right now, it's exhausting. And I'm weary. And when I read Jesus' commands, you are the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, all that could come to my mind is I'm okay with salt and light if it's on a beach. Let's just get some waves, some sun, call it a day. As my heart processed and looked at this passage more and more, the commands of Christ and the proclamation of who we are and who we are to be became less and less burdensome, but more and more significant. Maybe more than I ever realized it could be. And what clicked in my brain finally was tying the first part of the Sermon on the Mount with this proclamation of you are salt and you are light. And what clicked is that the Beatitudes, they're blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs are the kingdom of heaven. And Joe worked with us for the last 5 weeks on what those things mean. And that word blessed, its simplest translation is happy. But we know it's not just simply happy, because it says happy are those who mourn. Well, that can't exactly be a one-for-one there, right? But it's not so much our happiness that grabbed my heart this week. Our feeling of being blessed. But the happiness of God the Father in His children whom He looks down upon. Us sinful, messed up folks who have been saved by the grace of Christ. When He looks at us, He sees us as blessed. He is happy with us. Not because we're so good, not because we've done this or that to please Him, but because Jesus Christ has completely fulfilled the desires of the Father, the demands of the law, and has completely paid for our sin. We are blessed. The Father is pleased when He looks at you this morning. So I want to start, before we get to this, we need to consider who we are. If you are in Christ, if you have trusted Christ, you've turned from your sins to Him, He has given you His righteousness, His blessing. And so this turns kind of the whole thought of a command on its head. This turns the whole thought of you need to be salt and you need to be light from, oh boy, not now, I can't handle brushing my teeth this morning, to how do I do that? To it's who we are. We as believers are the blessed of the Father. Again, not because we're good, not because we're special. This is not an arrogant thing, but a humble thing. Of God has looked upon sinners like me. It says, because of my Son, you're blessed. And so your outline reflects this. I'll give you the first one, but we're going to kind of work this a little bit more because I want to refer and I want us to think through the tone of Scripture. But the first line is, because you are blessed, you are salt. It's not just that you're to be salt and pull it up and work by your business. Come on, hurry, self-help. Make it hard. It's no, you are blessed, so you're salt. So because we are blessed, you are salt. But I want you to think through, this isn't something new. Joe read Psalm 67 earlier, where it talks about how God blesses us. And then He has a desire that all the nations, every person, everywhere, would come to know Him through the blessing He has given to folks like me, folks like you, folks in Central Asia who've trusted Christ. We're to be a blessing. We're to spread this through the whole earth. But then if you go back even farther in the scripture, this is nothing new. In Genesis chapter 12, when God is calling to Abraham and setting him apart, taking a heathen who didn't know about God, didn't trust God, and turning him into God's family, he says, I'm blessing you, Abraham. But the close of that three-verse blessing is, so that you might bless all peoples of the earth. This is nothing new. The reason, or one of the reasons, excuse me, that God saves you is that you might be a blessing to everyone else. And I think that connects here when we have 10 statements about here's how you're blessed, here's who is blessed, and then all of a sudden, that's to show out in a certain way to the rest of the world. So, let me read again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet." So again, this first point, verse 13, because you are blessed, you are salt. So now I want us to take, this was one of the most interesting things. Sometimes I'm a trivia fiend. I love it. And this just got my juices flowing. So Jesus is part of the Roman Empire. We're talking 2,000 years ago. I mean, we know what salt is, right? We, you know, it comes out of a little shaker. You buy it at the store. 2,000 years ago, salt was an extremely precious entity. It still is in most parts of the world today, and I got to tell you, I like a little salt on my fries. I mean, I would not want to be without salt. But the Romans, it was the lifeblood in many ways of their empire. They used it to preserve food. So think about it like this. When Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth," this would be the equivalent of us today hearing, "You're the refrigerator." Like, how many of you want to go a few days without your refrigerator? Right? How long would we make it? It wouldn't be long, right? I mean, this is their food preservation method. But not only that, this made probably some less than desirable foods a lot better tasting. But then they used it all over the place for other things as well. But I this is what grabbed me, all right? I want to give you a Roman word. So Roman soldiers received two forms of pay. One was just normal salary, except they didn't call it that. The other one was called the salarium argentum, and it was a payment of salt. It was so valuable in that day, it was a currency. They were paid in salt. And if you look at that word, salarium, S-A-L-A-R, salary, that's where the word comes from. We all who have a job get paid a salary. And I know some of y'all have even harder jobs that you don't get paid for at home. But for those of us who have a paying job, you get a salary. We don't do it for free, right? Some of us love our jobs, but still, hey, there's days you got to pay me. That very word comes from salt. That's how important it was. Here's another one. Salad. A Roman salad was leafy things with salt on them. We've adopted the term. Put a few more things in there, you know, some good cheese and bacon to make it right. But salad comes from this. Sauce, that's juice with salt in it. Sausage, that's meat with salt on it. All these words come from Latin in that day when Jesus was around of their use of salt. Let me bring it a little more modern. The British, during the American Revolution, withheld salt from the American colonies because they figured we couldn't find a way to get it ourselves. The exploration of the West, even at times, part of the listed reason from the president's decrees for them to explore farther west was to find salt sources. The French Revolution, one of the key political causes, that tipping point for that horrible time of French Revolution, was the incredibly high taxation of salt. They had a 30% tax on salt because they knew everyone needed it. It's for seasoning. It's for preserving. It's for wound care. It's for money. They used it for weed control. You salt something, nothing's going to grow. That's where Jesus' statement is like, if it doesn't taste good, you at least throw it on the road. You don't even waste it then. But all that to say, when Jesus comes and says, you are the salt of the earth, that packs a thump. These people heard something. What? This is a big deal. I want to go to one of these other sayings that we've heard from salt and sausage and salary and all that, to an old phrase. And my kids have heard this. I was reminded of it a week or two ago when they were watching Little House on the Prairie. My daughter's on Little House on the Prairie kick. And they refer often to people as salt of the earth. He's a salt of the earth. She's salt of the earth. And of course, it comes from Jesus' words here. But they weren't talking about the politician leading the place, even the school teacher. They were talking about just a good, normal, faithful man or woman who was honorous, generous, kind, merciful, humble, meek, peacemakers. Kind of sounds like the Beatitudes, right? We've all heard that expression, I would guess. We probably all would like to be somebody like that. Jesus is saying that's who we are. That is our character. The problem is, Christians today don't all seem to look like that. I don't seem to look like that. I saw a meme on Facebook that I think says it well. Jesus said, you're salt of the earth, not to be salty to everyone on earth. We've missed this. Someone who is the salt of the earth, it's the same person who's the blessed woman or man of the Beatitudes. I think that phrase gets right to the point. This is who they are. Again, not a bootstrap pulling self-help, but it's a calling. It's a life to be different, to be that moral taste as you go about your daily lives. So I just want to pause here. I want to take just a moment. I want us to reflect a little bit on this. I want us to think through. Look at your life. Not that guy's life that you know needs to be salt of the earth. I want you to look at your heart. You. Sitting right there on the plastic folding chairs or maybe that comfy couch out there. Are you salt? Would someone characterize you and say, you know, they have a moral taste about them that's good? When you're sitting on the Zoom call or the board meeting, are you the preserving factor that keeps things from going in an unethical direction? Are you the one in the conversation of moms who are complaining, who turns that to gratitude? Are you the one when the guys start telling dirty jokes that turns that conversation to how we might better love our wives? Are you the moral taste? Are you the moral preservative? Are you acting as what God says you are? I hope, like me, thinking those things, like, not always. There's sometimes I see my son imitating me, and that's not a good thing. I hope, in reading this passage, that none of us are discouraged and none of us are taken back, because again, this isn't how you are saved. You are not saved by being the moral character, the moral preservative, the moral taste at your company, your home, your gym. We ought to be. But that's who we ought to be because of Christ. And so let me tell you, if you answered those questions, nope, to every one of them. There's one of two things going on. One, you need Christ. Because you're not that blessed person yet. You're not the salt of the earth yet, so don't feel guilty about that. Trust Christ. Turn to the loving, kind, saving Jesus, who died for your sins and paid for every one of those times you were the opposite of the good moral taste. Maybe you were the bad moral taste. But believer out there, if you're like me, you had to say, not really, to many of those things too. I want to encourage your heart. This isn't a command that's to be burdensome. This is an identity that we are to embrace. Jesus Christ has been righteous for you. So when you failed, when you didn't turn that conversation that was going dirty, when you didn't stand and you ought to have, when you just look like the normal average American, there's grace. This is not time to beat yourself up. This is time to repent. It's time to turn from the muck and mire of our sin to the glory of Jesus Christ. So brothers and sisters, Providence folks, believers out there who might be catching this, don't beat yourselves up. Turn to Christ. We mourn our sin, but it's not a mourning that stays in mourning. It's a mourning that turns to those who are blessed. There's hope. There's hope for tomorrow. There's hope for this afternoon. There's hope for walking out and driving home, and the goofus doesn't have their lights on, and you just want to go at them to be that salt. Because that is who Christ has made you to be. So Christian who's tired, Christian who's frustrated, Christian who's been fighting that same sin for so long, stay the course. You are the salt. This is a declaration Jesus makes of you, not a burden he places upon you. He has made you that way. So we learn to live in that. Second thing, because you are blessed, you are light. Because you are blessed, you are light. Let me read verses 14 through 16 for us. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we know more about light, right? We've got light switches on. For those of you who are on that side of the congregation, there's like glaring LED high beams hitting me right here, all right? We get light. But I didn't get how amazing light was and how for granted I took light. So I had the privilege of getting to go hiking in a cave. Now, I'm not talking about Carlsbad or Mammoth Cave where they literally paved the path there and there's lights, you know, all over. I'm talking about a real legit hike through a cave. It's dark. I mean, really dark. And you're in there flashing. There is nothing you can see if you don't hit it with a flashlight. But once we got way back in the cave, the guide I was with told us to all turn our flashlights out. Stick them in your pocket for a minute. And the black darkness that was just over, you could almost feel that darkness. It was overwhelming. To say you could not see your hand in front of your face was very, very literal. I mean, just waving and there's nothing because of the ultimate darkness there. There is no light. Then that guide took a single wooden match. You hear it shh and strike. And it is amazing. In that giant cavern, it was probably a little bigger than this room we're in right now, how much light that one little match produced. You could see your hand in front of your face. You could see your feet. You could see the walls of the cave. Now, there was a lot of detail missing, but you could see one match. Now, I want you to think back in Christ's day, no electricity, no switch, but they had these little clay, most of them, I'm sure the more expensive ones were made of nicer things, but clay lanterns hold a couple ounces of oil, an old scrap of fabric, and they'd hold it in their hand. As Jesus said, put it on a stand, and it would give light to the whole house. We're not talking this huge, you know, glaring flame, but just a little light. It's amazing the difference that makes. I want you to think about the light that has come into your life. When did you trust Christ? If you have trusted Christ, I know there may be some who haven't that are watching us. But I want you to think, when did you trust Christ? Odds are very, very high, and I'm going to say it really carefully because I goofed up. Statistically, I couldn't say that this morning. 8:30 is early. Statistically, most of you probably trusted Christ when you were young, when you were a child. And you probably did that because a mom or a dad cared enough about you to share the light of Christ with you. The next most statistically high, see, there I go again, statistically high group is teenagers. And it may not be mom or dad at that point, but a friend who simply brought you to church and you heard the good news. People shared the light of Christ with you. For some of you who trusted Christ as adults, praise God for that man or woman who took the time to love you enough to share the light of Christ. What a privilege every one of us sit under. We didn't figure this out. Gracious, loving, blessed folks shared that blessing. They shared the light of Christ. Now, I want you to look really closely at this verse, verse 14 again. It says, "You are the light of the world." Now, this week as we were preparing, we've learned around the office, we can sometimes say dumb things if we don't check with people first, and I am chief among those. So we always kind of run outlines by, run ideas by for sermons with each other among the pastors there. And I read off the outline, because you are blessed, you are salt. And second, because you are blessed, you are light. And the guys liked it. They said, that's pretty good. But then there was, but you got to say, You are a light, or you are, you know, you're sharing a little bit of light. You're sharing Christ's light. I'd say, well, like, theologically, yeah, that makes sense. Jesus is the light. Jesus actually declared his godhood by saying, I am the great name of God in the Old Testament when he speaks to Moses. I am who I am. He says, I am, and he adds, the light of the world. Jesus is the light. Don't get me wrong here. But I want you to see how much Jesus is willing to tie his reputation, his name, his fame to you. He says, you are the light of the world. Cassius Clay tells a story before he changed his name to Muhammad Ali, that he looked for a religion. He was actually looking for a religion. He saw all these religions out there, and he was very attracted to Christianity, particularly to Jesus. But he said he looked around and saw all the Christians and turned to the Muslim faith. See, those Christians were not sharing light. They weren't salt. They weren't light. They were giving Christ a bad name. And that's heartbreaking. And if you're like me, there's been times where, yeah, I've been in that boat. But again, I want to give you encouragement. Jesus trusts you as a believer enough that he has changed you so much by giving you his righteousness and taking away your sin. When you trusted in Christ, he declares you to be light. He says that's who you are. He gives you the same title he gives himself. This is a radical, radical statement. And it should grab you and it should startle you. But just as those moms and dads and teenage friends, co-workers, neighbors, who loved you enough to share the light with you, say, come to Christ. Maybe just come to church and hear. That's who Jesus has made you to be as well. That's who you are. This isn't a burden he places on you. It's a transformation from the inside out that he changes you. And so when you fail in that, again, brother, sister, don't be discouraged. Because your being doesn't change. But do start to share the light. Start to share the understanding, just like we can see because of the lights. Help people see. Not because you're better than them, but because you happen to be someone Jesus has reached out and snatched out of the destructive fire that's ourselves. Share that light. I'm going to get real practical this morning. This is a little booklet. Obviously, it's really not fancy. It's called Christianity Explained. It's way cooler than I could write because the guy's from Australia. So, you know, you got to read everything in here with an Australian accent when you're doing it. It just makes it more fun. But anyway, they just sound more fun. This is the simplest and best way I have found of sharing my faith. Because it's nice. It's kind. And it's personal. And is to ask somebody, hey, would you sit down with coffee, lunch, in the break room, whatever your life might be, while we're walking the kids around the block, and read the Gospel of Mark with me over 6 weeks. So it's a pretty short book. We'll just read a few chapters a week, and then we'll talk about it. And share six things, six simple things. I just opened to study number 3, Jesus and his resurrection. By the way, that's the whole thing. It's that simple. That's like it. And by the way, this is just some information for you, the objective. This is the third study, and then it says homework review. So talk about what you read in the Bible. That's the whole thing. All right? Then you get down to number 2 is review the first and second one, and then all you're doing is talking about that much. And by the way, you make cue cards. It tells you how to do that. You literally write it down and hand it to somebody so you can't possibly forget. If I hate using the term evangelism for dummies, this is pretty close. And like dummy me, I love it. It's easy. But it's also not taking something and like just jabbing it down somebody. It's reading the scriptures together. And we trust Jesus, the light of the world, to make us the lights in the world and just illuminate who he is and the truth of Scripture. So let me encourage you to do this. This is free. You can go download it from, if you look at Christianity Explained, it's there in your bulletin or on your guide at home. But there are several copies at the back. And I would encourage you, just grab one. It gives you all the details. This is so foolproof. If you don't know how to write, they do it for you. Just make a copy. Like, I mean, it is simple. But there are people sitting here today who could tell you it's changed their eternity. You know, I asked a little bit ago, think about when you were saved, when Christ took you from darkness to light. And for a lot of you, it's when you were a kid. Parents, can you read a chapter of scripture with your kids a few days a week for 6 weeks? Talk to them about six basic, I mean, it is 6 points in this whole thing. And it just tells you how to do that. What an eternal difference that can make. Can you imagine if every adult in here, every teenager in here did that? over the next 6 weeks? What would this room look like? What would our communities look like? What would your workplace look like if you actually took serious Jesus' statement is that you are light. You're salt. You're that taste that the world longs for. You're light. You're exposing the truth of who Jesus is. And all of that because of what Christ has done for you. It's who you are. So don't see this as a command on, okay, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this. Oh, yeah, and I got to be salt. No, no, no. It's everything. It's the very fiber of your being. Jesus says, this is who you are. You're blessed, so you're salt. And you're blessed, so you are light. We're going to pray now. We're going to sing another song. But I want to come to you and say, some of you, this is just foreign speech to you. And maybe that's because you don't know Christ, and that's not a criticism of you. People aren't born Christians. We have to actually express our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus came, He lived a perfect life, He died for your sins, He rose again, and He offers you the free gift of eternal life. But He calls you to trust Him for it. He calls you to turn to Him, turn away from your things and turn to Him as King, trusting Him to save you. And so I call you to that today. I'll be around. Joe's around here down front. We've got some other elders back at the back there. It would be nothing. Nothing in the world could be better. If you're online, shoot us an email. Shoot us a Facebook message, however you want to communicate with us. We'd love to chat more with you as well. Let's pray and go to our good Savior. Father, we are woefully inadequate. Father, you declare us to be salt and light, but Lord, so often it feels more like mud and darkness. Father, I pray for every one of us that we would realize who we are, that we would get just a little glimpse of what you have done in saving me. That I would see it, Lord. That I would see who you have made me. And that the moral character of you, Jesus, would ooze out everywhere I go. The mercy, the peacemaking, the forgiveness, humility, the kindness. Father, that would season every moment. And Lord, I pray that we would be light, that we would not just be salt and moral character. People think, oh, what special person they are. We would say, no. Lord, help us to say, no, it is not I, but Christ. Because we know it's not us. Lord, may we sing to you. Lord, I ask that you would save those who don't know you yet. For the rest of us, help us to live to be who we are, salt and light. In Jesus' name, amen.